Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's a culture war, the religious right has started it. The religious right has this book that they're trying to make the world follow.
Shutting down government is unbiblical. Because government has a biblical responsibility to care for the poor, they're against poor people.
God told me that we are our brother's keeper. The labor movement is our brother's keeper. So help me God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to a Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio at Gainesville State University, which providentially happens to be located in Gainesville, Georgia. It is a beautiful day. The kids are pretty much everywhere, and we might put Witness Wednesday on hold just for a few minutes, maybe. There's a fellow who's walking across the campus on the sidewalk, kind of going with the flow with everybody else. And he has a seeing eye dog. And I just thought it might be interesting to see if we could chat with this fellow to get a little bit of an inside scoop on his life and what it is like to need a seeing eye dog. And so I'm going to give that a go right now. Excuse me, young man. How do you do?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. Are you on your way to class right now?
I have to take her to the bathroom, then go back to my club.
Right? My name's Todd.
Pleased to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you, too. How do you do? Yep. And the reason that I stopped you, I've got a microphone in my hand. We're on radio. Mm-hmm. Dude, I just want to ask you, I take it you have trouble seeing, or are you completely blind?
Yes, I'm blind.
You're completely blind. Hey, you know what? I just want to know what it's like in your world. What is it like to not have eyesight?
Well, it's different. You have to see things from a different perspective. You know, you have to depend on your other, you know, senses, like hearing.
Have you ever been able to see?
Yes.
You have? How did you lose your eyesight?
I had a retinal detachment on my left eye.
I don't know. Okay, so that caused you to lose your sight?
Yeah, my left eye, and then I had a cataract on my pupil from birth on my right eye.
Really? So at what age did that happen to your left eye?
I think it was eight.
You're 8 years old, yeah. So you remember seeing things.
Yes, yeah. Which actually has helped me a lot with when it comes to traveling, because I can visualize stuff, you know? Like, when I take left, right, I kind of start mapping it out in my head.
You got a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you see darkness, or do you just, there's just, you have no sense of light? No?
I can see light. I don't have light perception.
All right.
So I can tell it's daytime, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. But everything is very fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How do people treat you?
Actually pretty good.
Yeah?
Surprisingly, you know.
Yeah? Do you think that you get preferential treatment?
Sometimes, I guess.
Sometimes? That's all right. Sometimes you do. All right. And so you're 8 years old and you lose your eyesight. How did you deal with that? How did you cope?
I think my family really helped me out a lot. And I had kids, you know, friends that really, they didn't really see me any different. They helped me out a lot.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Good, because sometimes kids can be kind of cruel.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was in fourth grade. You know, I did have trouble with that. No, I think it was third grade.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to wear big glasses, you know, and kids used to make fun of me, so I had to change school. But that was like, you know, other kids, you know, random kids.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this dog that you got down here, he helps you.
Yeah, her name's Oasis.
Oasis.
Yeah.
Do people always want to pet her?
Sometimes.
Is that kind of a bad thing to do?
Yes, because they get distracted.
And they need to be focused on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they're working. Only when they have their harness. Now, they can get petted when they're off the harness.
So if I ever see somebody with a seeing eye dog, as tempted as I might be to pet the pooch, leave him alone.
Yep.
If he or she is working.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, dude, do you have any sort of spiritual beliefs?
I guess you could say I'm Catholic, but I'm not really
committed.
Yes.
How come?
I'm not sure. I'm just more like a basic believer, you know, be like, you know, Jesus saved me, and that's pretty much it, you know?
What does that mean?
That he died for our sins, pretty much. Just basic Christianity belief.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And why did he do that?
Okay, you're asking the wrong person now.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah.
All right. Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Have I kept them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do I know? I don't remember them off the top of my head.
All right, let's do a couple.
I've kept them.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be one of them. All right, how many lies have you told, dude?
I don't know, man.
More than one?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What about murder? Have you ever committed murder?
No.
No. Have you ever just been really torqued with somebody, really angry at somebody?
I've been angry with someone, but That's about it.
Yeah. Unjustly angry. You know, just really mad at him because you thought they were a bonehead or a knucklehead.
Not really.
No?
No.
Pretty mellow guy?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know that Jesus said that if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart? Now, you've been without your eyesight for a number of years, but have you ever done that? Have you ever lusted?
I guess you could say that.
Okay. Did you ever do anything to dishonor your parents? Were you ever naughty as a child?
Probably like little stuff, you know, not listening probably when I was little, but not really.
Well, when you lied, that would be dishonoring to mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
No.
No? Never used God's name in a low kind of way?
Mm-mm.
No, OMG, that type of stuff?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. Has God always been the first priority in your life? Has he been number one in your
admit,
life?
I have to admit, not always. So.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's honest.
I'd be lying.
You'd be lying. And I'd be another one. Okay, so wouldn't that be why Jesus needed to die for our sins? Because we're sinners?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because doesn't the Bible say that we're not really good people? We're actually very bad people?
Yeah.
And we're like...
We're not perfect, really.
Yeah.
And we could try to be, but we're really not, you know?
So. I agree with you. And we fall short of his standard, which is perfection, right?
Yes.
So if you're not perfect and you've broken God's laws and you died... And he gave you justice. What do you think God would do with a guy like you or me?
You mean like, will he send me to hell?
Yeah. What do you
nah,
think?
Nah, I doubt it.
Why not?
Because you know I'm not perfect. But I'm not a bad guy either, so.
Well.
I'm not a bad person.
The Bible says nobody does good. No, not one.
Mm-mm.
And that our hearts are deceitful and wicked above all things. So, the question then is, are you right or is the Bible right?
The Bible.
So you're not a good guy.
I guess not.
So if God gave you justice, wouldn't punishing you be more reasonable than rewarding you? It'd be sort of like a criminal in a courtroom who'd broken a lot of laws. And the criminal said, but judge, overall, I'm a really good guy. The judge would say, well, I don't know about that, but I do know that you've broken the laws. And justice demands that you go to jail and get punished.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't God be the exact same way?
You would think it would be, but I'm not sure to answer that question.
Yeah, because we have a tendency to compare ourselves to other people. When we think about other people, we sort of think they're pretty bad compared to me.
To us, yeah.
You know, we compare ourselves to the really bad guys, the Adolf Hitlers, and we think, well, they're really bad. I'm not that bad. And we might not be that mad, but we're still bad.
We're still sinners.
That's right.
That's one thing we probably share in common with them. So.
That's absolutely right. In fact, the Bible talks about how we're actually born in sin. It's just our nature. It's what we are. It's who we inherited our sinful nature. And that's... Friend, what's your first name?
Ephron.
Ephron. That's our problem. That's the situation that we're in with God, is that we've broken his laws, and because mm-hmm. he's a God of justice, he has to punish lawbreakers. His righteousness demands it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about it in those terms, all of a sudden we realize, wow, we are all in really big trouble here.
Yeah.
I don't have any chance of paying off my debt. I can't do anything to appease God, but God is rich in mercy, and he wants to save sinners, but he's got to uphold justice. But he loves you and he wants to save you.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two things combined on the cross, where Jesus, God's Son, God himself, took the punishment that you deserve for breaking God's laws.
True.
So the punishment, the wrath that you deserve from God was actually put on his Son on your behalf.
And a sacrifice, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then you get his goodness, he took your sins, and you get his righteousness in exchange. Mm-hmm. That's what the gospel is about. That's why Jesus died. Not for good people, but for sinners.
For sinners, yeah.
Right. Now, have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
I think I have sometimes. I'm not sure, you know, what you mean by that.
Well, Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Jesus was getting at is that you must die, not physically...
Spiritually.
But spiritually.
Yes.
And your will has got to be surrendered. Where instead of saying, I'm a good person, God wouldn't send me to hell. Instead, we go, I'm undone. I haven't kept his laws at all. I haven't done the things that I'm supposed to do, and all the things that he tells me to do, I've broken those laws, and I deserve his punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. Have mercy on me. You humble yourself before God.
Mm-hmm.
Cry out to him for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You put your trust in Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to die for you. And God says, when you die to yourself, he will make you alive again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be born again. He'll give you a new heart with new desires. He'll adopt you as his child.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go to heaven, not because of what you've done, because all you've done is earned hell, but Jesus
mm-hmm.
earned heaven for you.
Mm-hmm.
And God says that you will inherit eternal life because you will be forgiven and seen as perfect because of what Jesus did on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you humbled yourself before God and cried out to him for mercy, and you know that he saved you and forgiven you?
I have to admit, not really.
All right.
I have to admit.
Jesus wants to save your soul.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
That was wrong.
Right?
Yeah.
It's good news. You
yeah.
ponder that today, okay?
Okay.
All right, man. Hey, mm-hmm. thanks for teaching us about this. All right?
Thanks.
I appreciate it. All right, man. See ya. Didn't know that was going to turn into a witness encounter, but I sure am glad that it did. Pray for that young man. We will keep going on a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the kingdom of heaven, remember that there is no kingdom without a king.
Only those who bow before Jesus will enter his kingdom.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a Witness Wednesday at Gainesville State. Here's what I'm going to do, because there's not a lot of kids out here right now that are available for witnessing. I don't even know that this is a no-no. I'm going to go into the building. Again, I don't know if it is not right for us to go inside of a student center to witness. Once again, this university is paid for by you and me. Our tax dollars go to pay for places like this, just like they go to pay for sidewalks and streets, and so we can be on the sidewalks, we can be out in the parks and witness to people, we can be on the college campuses to witness to people. I don't know why we can't be in the building, other than I've always thought I've got a higher percentage, better chance of getting booted out of the place. And so that's why I usually stay outside. So let's go inside, and whether we'll find somebody to talk to or not, I'm not sure, but we might get a little sense of the type of things that are being taught to the kids. It's a little over. Whoa, it's nice in here. It's okay, I'm turning this way because I don't want the people who look like they might be in charge at the desk to actually see me. Okay, it's very nice in here. It's a student center, and here's what I'm noticing already. Messages get sent all the time. I'm in a student center at Gainesville State College. This is brand new in here. It's really spanky. It's an area where kids can buy food. And there's a, looks like a game room. There's ping pong and pool inside of that room over there. There's the cyber cafe. But in this main eating area, surrounding the outside wall, up about 20 feet in the air, is a flag from pretty much, well, I don't know that it's every nation in the world, but it's a lot of different flags. And you know what I'm not seeing, by the way? Oh, there's the American flag right there. I'm sorry, maybe they just thought it was a nice idea, but I can't help but think that the idea behind this was to promote one world. Sorry, can't help myself. I was just at a book fair at an elementary school, and it was interesting what they had at this. Now, this, you have to remember, in Georgia, it's very conservative. This is very Bible belty here. But at this particular book fair, the types of books that they had were interesting. For instance, their history books. There was one of Abe Lincoln, and I saw three or four of John F. Kennedy. That's interesting. I couldn't help but notice, too, that there was actually a religion book. It was a book that said, Religion, Celebrating All Faiths. And when you open up this book, now this is for elementary kids. It talked about how we all pray to God in a different way. We all have our own little traditions. But hey, we're basically all, you guessed it, the same. Huh. That's interesting. So you see all kinds of efforts by people, even in... Dude, why are you dressed like that?
Because I can't.
Tell me why. Why are you dressed like that? Come here. Talk to me. On the radio, mate. Sit down.
Hello, sir.
All right, describe what you're wearing, because I'm not sure that I could do it justice.
All right. All I am wearing is just like a black robe with black pants and a black shirt on underneath.
It's kind of monkey.
That's sort of like what I'm going for, more or less. But I had a friend today who was running around in leather armor, like leather Viking armor. Mm-hmm. And we did this thing today where it's like, he's going to be like a brute force guy. I'm going to be just like... in this monk-looking robe thing.
Dude, you could be the brute force guy.
I could, because I'm big enough, but he's pretty cool-looking. He was pretty cool.
Well, so what's the point?
The point is that I was... we were just being friends today and wanted to look medieval.
Just
like medieval costuming.
It's whimsical.
Basically, yes.
Okay. When were the Middle Ages?
The Middle Ages were... wanting to say 1580 to about 1780, something like that.
I would think that's Reformation time.
Reformation time, okay.
Do you know what the Reformation is?
Yes, that's the Renaissance where everything kind of reformed and turned into a bit more modern society, and then our modern society spun off from that, and we have what we have today.
Well, Renaissance, I think, would be, you could say that artistically, socially, perhaps. I was thinking the Reformation, like the Protestant Reformation, would be 1500s to 1700s.
I see.
Martin Luther, John Calvin, any of those names ring a bell?
Yeah, they do.
Those guys?
Those guys do ring a bell.
Okay, so you think that's the Middle Ages?
I don't know. I'm just like, fail. I'm sorry. I'm just like, wrong week.
Okay, so you seem like a pleasant fellow. There's no other thing behind it. Just you want to dress like you're in a robe, like you're in the Middle Ages.
Something like that, yes.
Is it any sort of Lent thing that you're doing? It kind of looks maybe a little Roman Catholic.
No, not really. No. It's just, I'm just, because I wanted to today. I woke up, I mean, like, we've been planning this all week, but I woke up, I put on the underclothes, and I'm like, I'm wearing this today. Grabbed it out of the top of my closet, and here I am.
Those are your underclothes?
No, I have underclothes.
Ah, got it.
Yeah.
And then you decided to put the black over. All right, are you doing anything for Lent, as long as the subject has been brought up?
No.
Are you Roman Catholic?
No, I am Christian, actually.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, okay, I claim I'm Christian, I've been saved, etc., but I basically just do everything for me, because I want to. I don't like talking about religion.
You're a crack-up. What's your first name?
Drew, D-R-U.
Well, that seems to sort of work with the outfit.
Yes.
All right. Joe, okay, so are you one of those born-again Christians? No.
I would not say so, no.
What type of church did you go to?
It's non-denominational.
How come your cheeks literally got flush red right now when the subject of religion came up?
Well, I have different coloration, but most of the time it's just normally red because that's how I am. But I guess when I talk about a topic that's something I don't understand or like something that's kind of I have to put a lot of thought into, I notice that my cheeks do get redder.
Don't play poker for a living.
No, I probably should.
I don't think it's going to work out for you.
No.
It's a bad tell, man.
Yeah, I know. It's a terrible tell. And I've learned that one the hard way, believe it or not.
Uh-huh. Oh, by losing some money.
Not by losing some money, but, well, it wasn't a big amount of money, but...
Alrighty.
Just like a $20 thing. But
so you don't understand the faith that you claim to possess, is that right?
No, I understand how it works, and I understand how things are supposed to be. It's just... I don't do what I'm supposed to, so I can say I'm a Christian, but in reality, I really am not.
You're not living like one.
No.
That is stunningly honest.
I understand that, because most people would have claimed to have been like that, but no.
So
I don't like lying about things.
What do you suppose is the disconnect?
The disconnect would be the fact that I think I should do things for me, because... Something like, do things for me because I feel like I'm the only one who can actually do them. That would be the disconnect.
So you want to be in control of your own life?
I do believe that there is a higher force, and I do believe that that higher force can be called God, or if it's your religion, whatever you refer to as a God, if it's different stuff, but... Basically, the way I can put it now, the only reason why I am saved is fire insurance.
I understand that. I did that.
Yes, but...
Did you have a fear of dying when you were a child?
I still do.
I had that horrible bad.
Yeah.
I had that really bad. I don't know what it was. It was very irrational. I was young, healthy, but I was just scared that if I died, I knew something bad was coming my way. I just knew it.
Actually, it's not so much fear of dying, it's fear of how I'm going to die because I'm very accident prone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you died right now, what do you think's going to happen to you? Afterlife.
Well, if I was to die in afterlife right now... Hang on a second.
Thanks for being polite. Because not only did I have a fear of death, I'm a huge germaphobe today. So thanks for covering up.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to go before the higher force, preferably God, and, all of that stuff. And either he's going to say, one more.
Yeah, do what you got to do, man. Appreciate it.
And either he's going to be something, he's going to say something like, okay, you've accepted me as your savior, but what have you done for me in my name? And I will not be able to answer that question. And my worst fear of that is that he's like, okay, you have two choices. You can either go back and be in purgatory, or you can go to hell. Or something like that. Golly. I'm sorry, I've had a bit of a cold all week.
Yeah. Well, don't go dying on me now.
No, I'm not going to. That would be horrible irony.
Yeah, it sure would, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Yeah, very bad radio. All right, so dude, why don't you follow this God that you claim to have been saved by? Is that the term you used?
It's not that I don't follow him. It's just I've been out of touch with him for a very long time. Mm-hmm.
Okay, dude, hold on. Hold that thought. Gotta take a short break. It's radio. We've got millions of dollars to make. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.